The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Our first story today is The String of Hearts by Laura Malone Elliott. And as you probably all know, February, which is this month, February 14th, is a special day. It's Valentine's Day. So I will be reading you a few Valentine's Day stories. And the first one, as I said, is called A String of Hearts. Tomorrow was the class Valentine's Day party. "Make a Valentine for everyone," said Sam's teacher, Mrs. Wright. "Write something special about each classmate." Sam groaned. What nice thing could he write about Nicole? Nicole had said his really cool light-up tennis shoes were dumb-looking. Sam wiggled his toes. He loved those shoes. Sam looked over at Tiffany. Saying something nice about her would be easy. Tiffany always looked pretty in purple. Purple bows, purple boots, and purple skirts. When their class did a project about everyone's favorite colors, everyone said theirs was purple, even the boys. Everyone except Sam's next-door neighbor, Mary Ann. She picked chartreuse. Once Sam noticed Tiffany drop her favorite pencil. When Sam returned it, she called him sweet. "Maybe my Valentine will make her notice me again," said Sam hopefully. "Hey, Tiff," Winston called. "Look at me." Winston flipped himself into a handstand and made a silly face. Tiffany giggled, and then all the girls giggled too. Jeffrey offered to carry her books. Tiffany said he was sweet. The other girls said, "Aw." Tiffany left school with Winston on one side and Jeffrey on the other. The other girls followed behind. Sam needed to make a really great Valentine. All the way home, he worried. "Hey, Sam, wake up." Mary Ann skipped up from behind him. "What's bothering you?" she asked. "I need to make a really good Valentine." "Really?" Mary Ann smiled. "Who for?" he whispered. "Tiffany." Mary Ann's face fell, but then she said, "Well, I read a book about making Valentines, and I'll show you how." Sam felt better already. You can tell Mary Ann really was hoping, since she was Sam's best friend, that he would be making a special Valentine for her, but instead she decided to help him make a Valentine for Tiffany because she was just a really good friend. On her kitchen table, Mary Ann spread out construction paper, lace doilies, glue, scissors, ribbons, crayons, and a shoebox full of stickers. She made a red heart by folding a piece of paper in half and cutting a teardrop on the fold. When she unfolded the teardrop, it made a heart. "Wow," said Sam. He watched her glue the heart on a white card and draw an arrow through it in silver crayon. She wrote in big letters, "Be my Valentine." Sam stuck stalkerball stickers all over a piece of paper. He wrote, "You are a kick." "That's a great Valentine for Nicole," said Mary Ann. Nicole was a class star soccer player. "But Tiffany doesn't play soccer." Sam picked a new piece of paper and started drawing. Mary Ann threaded a pink ribbon through the edges of a lace doily. She pasted a pink heart in its center and wrote M-O-M. She used each letter to begin a line. M-M makes me feel special. O, outstanding in every way. M, much love I give you on Valentine's Day. And that was for Mary Ann's mom, because M-O-M smells mom. Sam held up his drawing. "Be my alien," said the monster. Mary Ann laughed. "Now that's perfect for Winston. He wants to be an astronaut." Mary Ann kept to herself a kind of sort of wish Tiffany would go to outer space instead. And Sam started over. With her pencil, Mary pinpricked up the outline of a heart in shiny foil paper. She wrote to her big brother, "You taught me to climb trees and how to shell a peanut. I will love you always because you're cool like King Tut." Sam used a poem the boys recited. "Roses are red, violets are blue, your feet are big and they smell bad too." Sam, smelly feet are not going to work with Tiffany. A Valentine should say why you like a person, what's special about her. So what does Tiffany like besides purple? Sam thought and thought. He really didn't know much about Tiffany. "Let's stick with purple then." Marianne looked in the shoebox. She found lots of purple stickers. Sam took a large piece of gold paper, pasted a doily on it, a heart on that, surrounded it with purple stickers, mostly heart stickers. It was beautiful. "She'll love it, Sam," said Marianne quietly. "It's the nicest Valentine I've ever seen." At the Valentine's Day party, everyone crowded around Tiffany. Winston gave her a Valentine with a real rose taped onto it. Jeffrey gave her a big chocolate heart. All the girls gave her Valentines covered with purple lollipops. Finally, Sam handed Tiffany his Valentine. "Thank you, Sam," said Tiffany. Her arms were so full, Tiffany dropped Sam's Valentine, and she never noticed. Sadly, Sam picked up his Valentine and stuffed it in his coat. But inside his pocket, he found something else. It was a Valentine, and it opened up in a string of hearts. Each heart had a line. "I like you because you made me cookies when I had chicken pox. You can make pretend spaceships from a box. You like to fly kites up high, and you never, ever lie." And it was signed Mary Ann. Sam caught his breath. He hadn't been able to think of a thing to put on Tiffany's card. But he suddenly could think of 100 things to write to Mary Ann. He liked the way she played basketball and Monopoly and read so many books. She carried his school lunch tray when he broke his arm and talked to him into learning how to swim. Sam ran home and found a piece of red construction paper. He folded it in half and drew hearts all over it. He titled it The Book on Mary Ann. Inside he wrote, "I love you all. I love how you always make me feel better." And he slipped it into her mailbox. And do you think Mary Ann liked it? Well, the next morning, Sam and Mary Ann walked to school together. "Thanks for the Valentine, Sam." "You're welcome," he answered. She smiled. He turned red. Sam changed the subject. "What is a chartreuse? "Chartreuse? I read about it in a book. It's a light green with a little yellow mixed in." She skipped ahead of him and called back, "Like the color of your eyes." "Hey, Mary Ann," Sam called. "Wait up." Wasn't that a nice story? Anyways, that's the end of that book. I like that story a lot. That was a nice story about giving Valentines to friends. Our next story is Archie Celebrates Diwali. Now, this is going to be something different. It's by Mitali Banerjee Ruth. This book is about a celebration of the festival of Diwali, or could be pronounced Deepavali, or could be pronounced Diwali. It's a festival celebrated in India and even in the United States and around other countries around the world where Indians have moved to. This story is about a little girl named Archie, who is a little Indian girl whose family moved to the United States. And now they live in Texas, and there this Indian family is going to celebrate Diwali together and invite some school friends over. So this year, here we go. This year, Archie invites a few friends from school to her family's big Diwali party. Virgil and Nora say they never heard of Diwali, and Paisley has trouble pronouncing it. Archie worries, what if they don't like her favorite holiday? Archie rakes the leaves, plugs in the lights, fixes a smudge on the rangoli, and lines up every dia on the walkway. Everything needs to be perfect, thinks Archie, straightening the garland of paper marigolds. Now, diyas are the most important of the Diwali festival. They're little clay open cups and they're with little lights in them, and you light the lights at night because it's a festival of the lights. It's actually, Diwali is actually the Indian festival of the lights. Archie's family is busy in the kitchen. Krishna, her baby brother, makes a big mess in his high chair. Archie tastes Dita's special curry. Dita is her name for grandmother. Maybe it's too spicy, she worries. For your friends, I put in only one chili, said Dita. Do you know the reason we have Diwali every year, asked Poppy Uncle? To celebrate the triumph of good over evil, Archie answers while she's arranging the sweets her mother and grandmother have made. Well, yes, says Poppy Uncle with a wink, but really, it's so your grandmother can sing karaoke. Everybody laughs. Archie secretly hopes Dita doesn't sing too much and Poppy Uncle doesn't tell too many jokes in front of her friends. Let's get your new clothes on, says Ma, and she gets out some very pretty Indian clothes. Archie twirls. She loves the sequins on her new lehenga. You look like a Maharani, says Ma, a real Indian queen. Archie looks in the mirror. Maybe her friends will think she looks weird. They've never seen her dressed up like this. And her lehenga is a long, beautiful skirt, and Archie's had sequins on it, and a blouse to go with it, and a scarf to carry over one shoulder. It looks so pretty. The doorbell rings. Archie's heart skips a beat, but it's just Mr. and Mrs. Goldman from down the street. It's pouring outside. Leaves litter the lawn. The rangoli is ruined. The diyas, all the little lamps, are drenched. A marigold garland blows down the street. There are flashes of lightning and rumbles of thunder. It sounds like a demon battle up in the clouds. Quite a Diwali downpour, said Mr. Goldman. Archie stares at the mess. She and her friends won't get to play outside. They'll be trapped inside with the grown-ups. This party is already boring and terrible, thinks Archie. Archie's friend Seema arrives. She goes to a different school, but she and Archie have known each other since they were babies. You look so nice, said Seema. She isn't wearing Indian clothes. Thanks, mumbles Archie, tugging at her lehenga. Maybe she should change. She doesn't want to be the only one who looks like a Maharani. Remember, Maharani means queen in the Indian languages. But it's too late. Right then, her school friends Nora, Paisley, and Virgil arrive. Archie fidgets with her bangles. What's on your forehead? Asks Virgil. It's like a sticker, says Archie, for decoration. It's called a bindi, her friend Seema offers. Just then, Paisley sneezes 3 times in a row. And the lights go out. You blew out the power, Virgil says in the darkness. Stay calm, everyone, says Archie's dad. We have candles, flashlights, and plenty of batteries. We can still eat and have a good time, Archie's mom adds. Try a bit of everything, said Dita, handing plates to Archie and her friends. They sit around a lantern like they're camping. Paisley squints at her plate. Archie twists a napkin, waiting for someone to take a bite. The table is full of all sorts of different kinds of Indian foods. Burning, Nora gasps. You need mango lassi. Archie quickly hands her a glass. It's like a lotion for your tongue. Sorry about the food. And mango lassi, by the way, is a drink made out of mango and yogurt, and it is so good. And it really does cool down your throat if you eat hot stuff first. It's spicy, says Nora, but it's very good. I could eat this yummy pillow bread forever, Virgil stuffs another piece into his mouth. That's naan, Archie explains with a tiny smile. And some of you might know that naan is a nice, puffy Indian bread that you use for eating with your food or for picking up pieces of food. Like if you're eating curry, you pick it up with a piece of bread. So what's Diwali about? Asked Paisley. It's the festival of lights, says Archie, picking at the sequins on her skirt. And we have no lights, she thinks. Worst Diwali party ever. So Diwali is about lights, says Nora. That's it? Everyone waits. Archie's face gets warm. She takes a deep breath. A long time ago, this king and queen saved the world from a whole bunch of demons, Archie begins. Then they tried to find their kingdom, but it was super dark, and no one had electricity. Like right now, whispers Virgil. Shh, said Nora and Paisley at the same time. Archie continues, the people didn't know if the king and queen would find their way, so they lit thousands of little oil lamps. Her friends lean in and listen so closely that Archie feels shy. Her voice trails off. So what happens then? Asked Paisley. Did demons chase them? Asked Virgil. Archie shakes her head. Nope. The king and queen made it home safely, and everyone lived happily ever after. Now every fall, on the night of a new moon, Archie finishes. We celebrate Diwali to remember that evil and darkness can't win against all our lights shining together. Suddenly, the power comes back on. Paisley squeals, Nora cheers, Virgil drops his non, and all the adults clap. Diwali miracle, shouts Grumpy Uncle. He turns up the music and hands Dita the microphone. Virgil taps his foot to the beat. Nora turns to Archie. Can I have a bindi? Me too, asks Seema. Sure, says Archie with a big grin. I have lots. Mr. and Mrs. Goldman show off their Bollywood moves. Ma and Krishna start a conga line. Archie and her friends join in. They go around the living room, through the kitchen, and out to the patio. The rain has stopped. The grass glistens. Lanterns twinkle in the trees. Everyone lights sparklers under the night sky. Archie covers her ears when her dad sets off firecrackers. Scare away those evil spirits, Poppy Uncle shouts. The loud noises also scare baby Krishna. I've never eaten Odette so much in my life, Paisley cries. It's getting late. Everyone gets ready to go home. Dita brings containers of food. I packed extra naan for you, Dita whispers to Virgil. I love your whole family, says Nora. Archie smiles. She loves her whole family, too. I'm so glad you all came, said Archie. Maybe next year, she thinks, I'll hand out more invitations at school. Ma tucks Archie in. Good night, Maharani, her mom says. Archie touches the bindi on her forehead and smiles. Happy Diwali, she says. And a little bit more about Archie's favorite holiday. Diwali, the festival of lights, comes from India and is now celebrated in many countries, such as the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. The festival lasts 5 days, and the main celebration takes place on a very dark night of the new moon between October and November. There are many mythical stories about the origins of Diwali, like ancient warriors defeating powerful demons. But at their heart, all the stories are about how good triumphs over evil. There are also many different ways of celebrating Diwali, just as there are many different ways of celebrating other holidays around the world. People usually wear new clothes, gather with friends and family, and decorate their homes with strings of light. And the story of Diwali, one of the most popular Diwali stories, comes from the Ramayana, an epic poem written thousands of years ago in an ancient language in India called Sanskrit. Ramayana means Rama's journey. It tells the story of a prince named Rama who has to rescue his wife Sita after she gets kidnapped by a 10-headed demon king named Ravana. Rama gets help from his brother and a monkey king named Hanuman. To help Rama and Sita find their kingdom again, people light hundreds of tiny lanterns or diyas to guide them home. When they return home, they are crowned king and queen. They rule for many years over their kingdom in peace, with no more evil demons bothering anyone. And that's the end of Archie Celebrates Diwali. And now you know a lot of things about the Indian Festival of Lights, Diwali. Now, we have another Valentine's book called I Love You to Pieces. And this is written by Nicole Johnson. It was a cozy February morning. Teddy the bear woke up from his winter hibernation. He was feeling happy and rested until he checked the calendar. It was Valentine's Day. Oh, no, Teddy cried. I haven't made my friend a present. Teddy had made big plans for this Valentine's Day. He was going to use this special day to show his friend how much he loved him. But he had slept later than he meant to and had no clues what to build for his friend. He wondered what kind of present says, I love you. Then Teddy got an idea. He would go out and ask other people about the gifts they made for Valentine's Day. Surely someone else had given the perfect gift. Teddy's friend loved to swim, so he headed out to sea in a rowboat to look for inspiration. He found a pair of merpeople there and asked them what they had given each other for Valentine's Day. I gave him a bracelet made of seashells, said one merperson. And I gathered up some seaweed for us to snack on together, said the other. Teddy thought about when he and his friend spent time together. His friend always wanted to play games. While the bracelet and the seaweed snacks were perfect gifts for the merpeople, they weren't quite right for his friend. Thanks for your help, said Teddy, but I think I need to keep on looking. With a wave goodbye, Teddy rowed back to the shore. Next day, Teddy headed to a nearby old western town. He met a pair of cowboys who greeted him with a friendly howdy. What do you two like to get for Valentine's Day? Teddy asked. For any holiday, all I need is a new hat, said one. Or maybe a pair of shiny boots, said the other. Teddy knew that boots were not the right gift for his friend. They were great on a cowboy, but bears don't wear boots. Next, Teddy thought about the hat. His friend loved getting dressed up. But when Teddy tried on the cowboy's hat, it really did not fit over his bear's ears. He returned the hat to the cowboy. Teddy had one more idea. Scientists are great at finding answers to hard questions. Maybe a scientist could help. So Teddy went to a scientist's lab and asked what he should do. Well, I've just invented a robot that I think can help, the scientist said. She led Teddy to a shiny new robot and turned it on. This robot can answer any question, she exclaimed. How do I find the perfect Valentine's Day gift for my friend? Teddy asked hopefully. The robot sprang to life with blinking lights and whirring noises. The asker must study the subject thoroughly to make a proper gift hypothesis, said the robot. And then it shut down. There you have it, the scientist said, satisfied, and already moving on to her next experiment. But Teddy had no idea what that had meant. Stumped, he left the lab. Teddy spent the whole day talking to different people. Their ideas sounded interesting and fun, but none of them were quite right for his friend. Back home, Teddy thought about his day. Everyone had talked about the perfect gift for them, but what's perfect for a merperson or a cowboy could never be the right mate gift for his friend. Then Teddy suddenly understood. Nothing was right because every gift is special for the person receiving it. He tried to think about his friend, just like the robot had tried to tell him. Teddy thought about his friend and what he loved. He loved playing games, dressing up in fun costumes, and eating berries. Aha! Teddy exclaimed. He was going to make his friend their very own special game. Teddy had no time to waste. He gathered everything he needed and got to work building the best present ever. Ta-da! Teddy had built a costume trunk and filled it with silly clothes. For his game, each bear would create their own costume. Whoever made the funniest costume would win a berry or two. Proud of his gift, Teddy carried it to his friend's house. But it was very heavy, and just as Teddy knocked on the door, he dropped the present. It fell to pieces. He was so, so sad. Whoop. Teddy's friend opened the door at that moment. "Oh, Teddy," said his friend, "this was so thoughtful, but I don't need a gift. I love you anyways. In fact, I love you to pieces." And they both laughed. And now we have even a better gift. We get to build something forever. Sharing a smile, the friends got to work building an all-new game. It wasn't the Valentine's Day Teddy had planned for, but it was just as perfect as he had imagined it would be. And that is the end of this book. Our next book is I Feel Safe by David McPhail. I am asleep in my bed. Thunder wakes me. I am so frightened. My mother comes in to comfort me, and I feel safe. My father carries me to the front porch. The lightning scares me, but my father says, "It's okay to be scared sometimes." And then he puts his arm around me, and I feel safe. When the lights go out, everything is dark. I am afraid. But my grandmother lights some candles, and I feel safe again. "Let's have a storm party," my mother says. She makes biscuits and hot cocoa. My grandfather strums his guitar, and we all sing together. Everyone is happy. But where are Frankie and Jojo? Frankie is my dog. Jojo is my cat. No one has seen them since the storm began. I am so worried. Everyone searches for them. My grandmother helps me to look in the closet. "Maybe they got out," says my mother. But no, no Frankie, no Jojo. My father calls me to help him look upstairs. When we get to my room, I see eyes glowing from under the bed. "Frankie! Jojo!" I call. And there come the cat and the dog. They crawl out, then jump up on the bed beside me. I hug them and tell them they are safe now. The rain has stopped. The sky is quiet. The storm has moved on. My mom and dad tuck me in. "Good night, sweetie," whispers my mom. "I'm so glad that you found Frankie and Jojo," says my dad. But I am too tired to answer. I just smile and drift off to sleep, feeling safe. And what makes you feel safe? Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Read to Succeed on North Carolina Reading Service.